From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. We'll have open lines at the half for you this hour, next hour, Consciousness with David Sirita. Looking forward to that. Well, the U.S. government is urging consumers, that's you, to thoroughly cook frozen chicken dinners after 32 people in 12 states were sickened with salmonella poisoning. Here we go again. The health warning by the U.S. Department of Agriculture cited frozen dishes in which the chicken is raw but breaded or pre-browned, giving you the appearance that it is cooked. They include chicken cordon bleu, chicken Kiev, or chicken breasts stuffed with cheese, vegetables, or other items. The USDA said many of the people who became ill apparently did not follow the package's cooking instructions and microwaved the chicken dishes, even though the instructions did not provide for it. Microwaving didn't heat the meals enough to kill the salmonella. The department said consumers should cook chicken products to a minimum internal temperature of 165 degrees Fahrenheit. This was all issued because Minnesota health officials found a link between the chicken dinners with the illnesses reported in Minnesota and 11 other states. Jeff Nelkin is a food safety expert, and he has worked with the major networks and has consulted with us on the recent jalapeno salmonella outbreak, and here he is now. Jeff, here we go again. What's happening with the food sources in the chain?
Well, I think, you know, here's an example of, you know, improperly labeling, you know, information on these dinners. First of all, they're putting raw chicken into the product, you know, and it so easily could be solved if they would cook that chicken in the first place. It would be one less headache to worry about. But again, they're putting raw chicken into this product. They're not putting instructions that tell people not to microwave it, that it must be, you know, properly reheated to 165. And if you're not going to put the information down, the consumers are not going to always be that, you know, leery. And as well as, you know, everybody's microwave oven works a little differently. So if you've got an older microwave oven, it's not going to be as powerful as the new microwave oven.
And, Jeff, raw chicken seems to carry the illness much more than most other foods, it appears.
Well, the raw chicken may be carrying salmonella, and, you know, keeping in mind when they're processing, you know, tons of chicken, the odds are all it takes is one chicken to have salmonella. Now they've mixed it in with the God knows 5,000 other chickens, you know, in making up this mixture. And they're dealing with raw chicken, so, you know, the odds are there isn't even a kill step.
And what's new with the food safety coach, Jeff?
Well, you know, we're just trying to, you know, remind everybody to, you know, be more leery and, you know, read labels more carefully and pay attention, you know, to quality of product, you know, that they're purchasing in the, you know, in the supermarket. And, you know, if you're going into your local restaurants, to make sure that you've checked them out and you've looked at their previous health department inspection reports. Some communities are, you know, are fighting the ability of the consumer to actually have access to these reports. So it's an interesting battle between, as you mentioned, you know, the powerful people and the consumers. And, you know, it's a battle that goes on across the country.
Great. And if you ever need more information on what Jeff does, just go to his website, foodsafetycoach.com. Jeffrey, thanks again, my friend.
Okay. Be in touch.
The U.S. study has suggested that more than 80 million people in China will die in the next 25 years as a result of lung disease. The research says the vast majority of those premature deaths are preventable. The safety focused on the devastating impact of smoking and the widespread practice of burning wood or coal at home for cooking and heating there. The French foreign minister is warning in comments published on Sunday that Israel would strike arch foe Iran before Iran succeeds in developing nuclear weapons. He said he had hoped that tough diplomacy and sanctions would persuade Iran to halt its uranium enrichment program, which Israel and many Western countries believe is aimed at developing nuclear weapons. California officials say recovery efforts around the site of adventurer Steve Fawcett's downed plane might not resume until next summer now. Snowfall ended the search in the Sierra Nevada mountains, and they simply say that's just conditions are not safe. They will not improve enough for crews to return to the site this year. The $700 billion bailout of the American financial system is now official and has been signed off by President George W. Bush. The revised bill added a lot of sweeteners and tax breaks, some of them relevant to the financial crisis, but others clearly not. Among the latter were subsidies to Virgin Island rum producers, insurance for mental illness, and tax concessions for manufacturers of children's toys. In all, this added another $152 billion to the full cost of the package. The bailout is the biggest government intervention in the financial markets since the Great Depression and is aimed at helping the nation's economy withstand the financial turmoil and not fall into a recession. We shall see. The money will be used to buy toxic loans off stressed financial institutions and either write them off or hold them until they can be sold or paid back. The credit crisis has taken its toll on the banking system, as well as ordinary Americans' businesses and lives through home foreclosures and job losses. In New York, the fight over control of Wracovia intensified as a judge temporarily agreed to block the sale of the bank by Wells Fargo. The state Supreme Court Justice Charles Ramos issued the order blocking the sale of Wracovia Corporation, which Wells Fargo and Company had agreed to purchase in a $114.8 billion deal. Citigroup accused Wells Fargo of trying to cut off its earlier takeover offer of the banking operations of Wracovia for only $2.1 billion in a deal struck with the assistance of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. On Friday, 4 days after that deal was struck, Wells Fargo said it was buying Wracovia. In Elk Grove, California, it's keeping up with its reputation as home to California's biggest pumpkins. As you get ready for Halloween, a massive pumpkin weighing in at 1,536.5 pounds broke the California state record for the largest pumpkin at the Elk Grove Giant Pumpkin and Harvest Festival. Pope Benedict XVI is warning that modern culture is pushing God out of people's lives, causing nations once rich in religious faith to lose their identities. The Pope celebrated a Mass in the Basilica of St. Paul. In a moment, special guest Heidi Hollis joins us. Now, Heidi, of course, has been known as the director of the UFO and Paranormal Discussion Group, UFO2U.com, since 1998. She's been involved in looking into mysteries, UFOs, and paranormal phenomena. But she's got something new, and we'll talk with her next on Coast to Coast AM. Heidi Hollis, founder and director of the UFO and Paranormal Discussion Group, UFO2U.com. And Heidi, as I mentioned, has been involved in looking into mysteries, UFOs, and paranormal phenomena for more than 20 years and has more recently entered into the studies of miracles and encounters and visions. And here she is on Coast to Coast. Hey, Heidi, welcome back.
Hey, George. Thanks for having me back on.
Likewise. Now, this is unusual. This is different. I mean, you are truly an expert looking into mysteries and UFOs and paranormal. You've been on Coast to Coast on all these subjects over the years. Mm-hmm. This one's different. Tell me what happened to you.
Yeah, this is quite different. I touched on the subject of visions as far as Jesus visions are concerned. It was something that I just felt like I couldn't ignore it because it was a part of the mysteries of my own personal life. It was something I couldn't deny. And what had taken place, this is even prior to my first book coming out based on Shadow People, I had gone to take a nap for the afternoon and actually found myself in another reality, I guess you could say, and being met with all I can say is I was met with Jesus in a vision. And I mean, it, just to back it up a little bit, though, too, I was a huge skeptic about such reports of people claiming to have seen Jesus, you know, from everything in their bowl of soup to a tree trunk. And I just thought it was ridiculous. And I had actually written that in my first book saying, you know, if Jesus were around, I would have seen him by now because I'd witnessed so many odd things in my life.
Right.
I just felt like this giant magnet for oddities. But thank God I had the encounter that I did, the first encounter I did prior to that book being published because I had to rewrite that chapter. But I actually, it felt like I fell through my pillow. I found myself in a familiar scene. It was such a drastic thing to happen to me that I was questioning, you know, what the heck happened? You know, where am I? And I was near my parents' home for some reason, and I was trying to rationalize what had taken place, and I saw this man approaching me. I mean, and I like to consider myself to be very down to earth, although I look into unearthly things.
Well, you are. I mean, I've got to tell you that, you know, you have brought us some very strange stories, but you seem to be a down to earth person.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Well, thank you, George. I'm glad. You know, it's such a different topic for me to talk on it. It doesn't come as smoothly for me because I am new to talking about the spiritual topics and the topic of Jesus, of all things.
But. Well, why you, Heidi? Do you think there was there a message here given to you? Is there something we need to know about, or was this simply an encounter?
You know, I had four encounters with him, and, you know, the first time the first vision I had, it was more of a message to me to not be afraid of what other people think, to finish my first book, The Secret War, and to just speak what I know, and he would help give me the words. And, I mean, I had absolute awful stage fright when it came to speaking about anything, whether if it was for a grade or not for school. I mean, and here I was, you know, about to put out a book, and I knew I'd have to go out and promote and start talking about it. And, you know, all the while, people didn't realize that here I am, this paranormal shadow people alien lady, and my whole like strength behind everything that I did, it was because of my encounters that I had with Jesus. But I hadn't taken the step forward to start talking about it because it was something so personal. But I'd also had an encounter with him where I had an incurable disorder for 12 years, and it practically, I mean, he healed me. Just, you know, you hear about these things and you're like, it wouldn't happen to me, you know, but it did. But one thing that I want to be sure to put out there, because I know I don't have that much time, but just so people realize the reality of, you know, his presence. I mean, for myself to be somebody that was totally skeptical about, you know, a subject as seeing Jesus and having visions like that. I mean, I really had to, I don't know, take a step forward to, it was hard to take that step forward to put the word out. And I think people need to realize that it is a tough step to do to be able to step forward. And
what did he look like? Did he look like the pictures we've all seen depicted?
You know, he was similar to what people have drawn over the years, but he was a little bit darker than what I have seen in other paintings. But white robe, shoulder-length hair, his face was shadowed the first time that I saw him. So it was absolutely amazing to me because, you know, I always used to question, you know, if people actually were knowing what they saw when they're claiming to have seen him. And I now tell people, it's like I could have been blind to see, and I would have still known it was him. I could have been blinded. And because every cell in my soul just kind of screamed, you know, oh my gosh, it's him.
You have a demonic visitation after this?
Yes, I did. You know, it was strange enough, you know, to have had the encounter that I did and to, like, wake up from this vision. I mean, I had not fallen asleep, and I woke up and was about to tell my college roommate only to be sucked back into some other reality, and I was faced with this this demonic entity that came up to me and asked me, are you sure of what you saw? And I'm like, what the heck? You know, what's going on here? Because initially I had mistook Jesus for an African-American friend of mine by the name of Quincy. And this demonic thing asked me, are you sure it wasn't Quincy you saw? And it showed a vision of my friend. And I'm like, what? You know, what the heck? It's like, I know what I saw, you know, and, you know,
I just wonder, with everything happening on this planet right now, Heidi, mm-hmm. if this visitation mm-hmm. Means something, if this is intended mm-hmm. for some kind of special message to get passed out.
Well, you know, a lot of people shockingly to me, are coming forward with their own personal encounters. And it's funny because I went to a UFO conference, and I wasn't going to speak about, you know, my new Jesus book, but I got approached.
What's the name of it, by the way?
Jesus Is No Joke.
Okay.
And it's Jesus No Joke, a true story of an unlikely witness, myself, who saw Jesus. But I had, like, several people come up to me, you know, say, well, are you going to speak at this conference? And I was like, oh, no, because my new book is on Jesus, you know. And one after another, the people were coming up to me saying, well, then you really have to get up there and talk. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, this is a Jesus book. But, you know, I also got pulled aside by about a dozen people sharing their personal encounters with me. And I was like, well, okay, you know, that they had personal encounters with Jesus. And I'm like, well, what's going on here? So I actually did get up at a UFO conference and talk about my new Jesus book. And it was amazing to me how well received it was.
What about miracles, Heidi? What about miracles with people who have had these kinds of associations? Even yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Anything? Anything out there?
Oh, gosh. There's so much that's happening in that area. But not everybody is being so, they're not being as forward about it. I mean, even myself, I mean, I didn't tell my doctor, you know, when they're like, well, we can't find any trace of your disorder anymore. You know, I didn't tell him, well, by the way, Jesus stopped by and he healed me. It's kind of this closeted secret, kind of like the alien and shadow people encounters. People are not sharing outwardly what's taken place.
I would guess, Heidi, more people would be apt to accept the fact that there might have been an alien visitation or an abduction than a visitation by Jesus. Wouldn't you?
It seems to be more widely accepted. A lot of people seem to be a little frightened, you know, when they hear, oh, God, she wrote a Jesus book. She's going to get all religious and preachy on me or something. And I am just not the sort. The only thing that I could do is just be myself and what I write and how I present it and just, you know, keep it real. It's one of the reasons why I felt so inspired to put this book together, because I just wasn't seeing, I don't know, on the level of discussion about it. You know, I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person.
Okay, but again, was there a specific message here? Is there anything that we should be concerned about?
You know, one of the times that I saw him, he admitted this feeling of wanting to return very soon. And it was such an overwhelming sensation that came from him, and just outright empathy, like wanting to fix everything that had ever gone wrong in the world. And that would be a good thing. What's that?
That would be a good thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a message that I think people need to know. But, you know, also it's just the outright reality of his existence. I mean, I was not big into the topic of Jesus. I believed in God. I just didn't think I really had to fully understand what it meant to understand Jesus, I guess, you know. But it's something that I had to, you know, take a step forward and try to put word out there that, you know, these things happen. Many people are having these experiences. And also another phenomenon that's going on, too, are people that are having these hell visions, hell trips, and heaven visions.
Is that happening more and more?
Oh, my goodness. It's like unbelievable. I think I get more reports of hell trips than I do of anything else.
What does that mean?
You know, I really think that what's going on, people are kind of visiting the realm that they're more closely associated with. I mean, I think if you've had a hell dream or a hell trip, that this is telling you something, that maybe you need to change something in your life a little bit. But I've been to both myself, but it was more of a tour, I guess you could say, and of the hell trip. But the heaven like visions trips that I've had, they were more of a learning experience and just kind of preparing myself. And what's shocking to me is, you know, I had like these dreams of like a heaven, like crystal like city, since I was a kid. And to grow up knowing this, and I'd discussed it with my siblings and all, but to grow up knowing that I had these visions and whatnot, and then cracking open a book later on in life and reading of others that have described the same crystal-like city with crystal.
Well, it seems to be happening all over the place. Heidi, thanks so much. Your website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Now, when I come right back, we'll have open lines for you, and here are the numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And here's the wild card line, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment with open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Yes, we are getting your Monday morning off to a start. Next hour, David Sirita joins us. We're going to be talking about consciousness and water the great mystery. It's an incredible program, and that's just ahead. When I come right back, open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Let's go to open line time. Let's go to our first-time caller in San Bernardino, California. Hey, Daniel, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you doing tonight, George?
Doing well, Dan. Thank you.
Cool. I wanted to tell you about a recurring dream I've had ever since my childhood. And there's something that stands out in these dreams, and I've just been thinking there's more to it.
How often does this keep coming back?
I would say at least once a month.
That's a lot. All right, what is it?
Yeah, once a month. Okay, in my dreams, there's, I would say, what would be UFOs, I guess. They look like the SR-71 Blackbird.
Yes.
And every time it takes off vertically, and they hover. But here's the unique thing about this. The plants and trees that are around me, water or some kind of liquid seems to gush out of them.
Like gook.
Not like gook, like water, like the magnetic field from these craft are causing the water to come out of the ground and out of the plants and trees.
You know, this is an interesting dream because some people have theorized that the propulsion system for these crafts could be water. But why you get this every month? That's strange. Blair in Sedona, Arizona.
Hi, Arizona.
Hey.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
Oh, good. I wanted to talk about the threat of instant replay as it takes away the human element in baseball.
You don't like it, huh?
Yeah, it's sort of like, I'm a fan going back to Ray Milland. It happens every spring. You know, the professor. That was probably
The classic
that got Fred McMurray going on the flubber thing and the absent-minded professor. People don't realize that chemical professor, and he developed something repelled wood. Remember that?
What was his name as the pitcher in the movie?
Oh, criminy. All I remember is that catcher remind me of Yogi Berra when he broke his finger and he put a wooden splint on. He couldn't pick up the damn baseball.
Okay, they called him King Kelly. Remember?
Now I do. Well, you know, Buck Martinez on TBS, I'm watching the Red Sox and the Angels. He said something a couple nights ago. He said the pitch may have been out of the strike zone, but the call by Bill Miller, that was the home plate umpire, is all that matters. And I sort of hope we remember that about baseball because it's the great pastime where there's not a rush to the clock. And it's got a positive aspect to it, like the old George Carlin routine where he talked about the safe and the fly ball and home and all that kind of stuff. So I hope we don't get too much of the, like the pro football instant replay. That could be manipulated like a Diebold voting machine in a few years, for crying out loud.
Well, you know what? We're going to end up getting replays on everything. Did you, you know, was that really you who drove through traffic? They'll play it back over and over again. You know what? Video's going to be everywhere, Blair.
Well, I guess you're right, but it's wonderful to have the good memories about baseball. And, boy, if I were dictator, I'd mandate daytime World Series games to come back on the air again, you know?
Just like the old days. Hey, what's new in Sedona?
Well, besides the Jeep touring business is getting busy, and I know you're going to have David on. Now, David's been traveling around, the filmmaker who lives here in Sedona. We got interesting calls from people talking about how you can get through this financial crisis. And one of the energies that I'm getting is from the Hathors, Tom Kenyon. He talked to a friend of mine back in September, and he says, have an attitude of appreciation because that's a great vibrational field. and it's a doorway of appreciation, and any kind of disturbances around you will be less able to affect you negatively because you're building your own generator. So that's one of the latest from Sedona, I guess.
That's a wonderful town. Let's go to Andy in Los Angeles, another wonderful town. Hey, Andy, what's going on in my old city there?
Hi, Giorgio. Everything is great. I appreciate your show, and I appreciate your openness, George. George, I'm a registered Republican, and I am a, I would say, somewhere between conservative and moderate on most issues. And you know, in 67, 68, in Vietnam, many veterans made tremendous sacrifices, and many of them came back with various impairments, you know, physical,
yes,
mental, and it really hurts me, and I say this from the bottom of my heart, it really, really hurts me when I hear that neither candidate, neither John McCain, who suffered as a POW, nor Barack Obama, has brought up the issue about these forgotten POWs who are most likely, more likely than not, many of them still alive. And according to intelligence reports, they are. There are many who are still alive in an underground mountain base where they are being held in North Vietnam. And neither candidate has brought up the issue about making an attempt to try to bring these boys home, to make some kind of deal to get them home. Neither one. And John McCain, according
to reports, and as you know, Andy, though, we had a deal to get them back. We reneged. We didn't give them the reparations that we agreed to, and we turned our back on the Vietnamese at the time. They cut a deal. Look, they had our POWs, and they should have released them, but they held them because they were expecting us to make payment based on a deal we cut, and we never came through with the money.
Exactly. Now, that administration is long gone, but now a new administration is coming to power. Are we going to forget our boys? If we forget them, which it appears as though neither candidate wants to bring up the issue for political reasons, then maybe, just maybe, they're going to forget about us too. Because if we forget about the people who are out there protecting our future, our freedom, then they're ultimately going to turn their backs on us too. And I would like to see John McCain prove these people wrong, the families of POWs who claim that when they came to see him, he brushed them off, pushed them aside. I want to see this man stand up to the plate and say, you know something, I care about these people, and I pledge to do something in behalf of these families and on behalf of these people who may be alive. Maybe they're not all alive. Maybe only some of them have survived. But damn it, let's do something and be men about it and put aside the politics and do the right thing. Thank you, Andy, so much.
You're right, and you may remember well over a year ago we did a complete program on this, which really brought me up to speed as well on this situation. Man, it is a sad situation. Apparently, the Vietnamese are so embarrassed that they continued to hold them that this regime of Vietnamese, that they just don't want anyone to know about it anymore. And you know what? Two wrongs don't make a right. Those POWs, however many may be left, should be released and, you know, gather whatever's left of their lives. And my gosh, it's been 30-plus years. Let's go east of the Rockies. Joplin, Missouri. Dan, the Joplin Lights.
Yes. Wow, George, life is getting great again. This is Dan, the blind man of the angels. And I have a surprise for you that I have been saving since I first heard your voice on the radio. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Now, psychic blind people out there who have Braille writers, I want you to do something really super special for your sighted friends who do not know Braille. I want you to hand them stacks of Braille and let them use psychometry, because they will accurately tell you what those pages are. Now, there's one other little surprise. I promise I won't take much time. Are you ready?
I've been ready, Dan.
All right, here we go. This is something special. Blind people, psychics, I want you to write on a page. It the dots 3, 4, and 6, which has three meanings in advanced Braille, which are the ing sign, the plus sign, and the third interval sign in music. And then below them, and I'm going to spell this word, it's T as in Tom, R as in Raymond, A, M as in Mary, P as in Patrick, E, N as in Nancy, E, trampine. Now, I want you to hand that to your sighted friends, and I want you to send emails to George to tell him and the ones of Coast to Coast what is a trampine and how does it relate to psychical trade secrets of Braille.
See, now you've got me baffled, Daniel.
Trampine is an invention. And on the inside of it, of all of its paper tubes, are codes in Braille. And the tubes, you know how Cleve Baxter talks about biocommunication?
Yep.
Well, way, way, way back then, I first started working with tubes which are made out of Braille pages.
And how many emails, Dan, am I going to get? I bet I'm going to get a lot, but I'll be ready for them. Adam in New York, you're on the air with us. Hey, Adam.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Okay.
Long-time listener.
Thank you for supporting us.
Throw this out there. Recently, tonight, I had watched the Zeitgeist documentary, Zeitgeist Addendum.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you had watched it. I'd like to hear some of your views.
I didn't see Addendum. I saw Zeitgeist number one.
Okay.
Which I found to be pretty fascinating. I didn't agree with everything in it, but I found it to be very compelling.
Well, on that note, I didn't agree with much in that regarding religious points of view and whatnot.
Right.
However, this one focuses more on our monetary system, society, and how it's really the competition that we really have in our society regarding the monetary, based society we live in, and it's basically how it is limiting our ability to really technologically advance as a people.
I bet it's right on too, especially with what's going on now.
Absolutely. I mean, they talked about the Federal Reserve real in depth. Money's really useless, and it's very eye-opening, and I recommend all your listeners everybody go on Zeitgeist.com and check it out.
Well, they got, Andy, millions of hits for Zeitgeist, and I'm sure they're going to do the same thing for this one. Let's go to our first-time caller, Ben in New York. Hey, Ben, go ahead.
Hey, George. I was calling to ask you about I've been following these warnings on the forums about October 7th, and I'm a resident. I'm a student in New York City right now. I'm a little worried. I was wondering if you could give me some more information about this.
Now, this I think it's the 14th, isn't it?
Everything I've been reading is set October 7th.
Now, we may be talking about two different ones. The ones on the 14th, those are UFO-related. Are you talking about some of the terrorist bulletins that we're getting? Okay. Chatter.
Yeah.
It's chatter. Well, I talked with Douglas Hagman, who heads up a website that monitors these radicals' websites, and apparently they're talking about October as a strike month for some things to happen, specifically before our November election. I don't know. I don't know about the specifics of the date, nor will I try to predict one, Ben. But, these, as Douglas pointed out when he was on the program several weeks ago, these things have been heard before and nothing's happened. But you got to take them all seriously. James in Houston, Texas, welcome to Coast, James.
Hey, thanks, George. Appreciate
sure.
it. George, now, you're an old sci-fi buff, right?
I'm a what? Sci-fi buff.
Sci-fi guy?
I thought for a moment you said I'm 5'5".
Oh, no, George.
Nothing wrong with that, but I'm not 5'5". But, no. Yes, I am a sci-fi buff.
Okay, now, I'm sorry, George. In 1951, the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still, remember that?
Yes, the one with Michael Rennie.
Yes, and Patricia Neal.
Patricia
Hugh Marlowe,
Neal, that's right.
Sam, and old Sam Jaffe.
And a new one's coming out soon.
Yes, December the 12th with Keanu Reeves.
Yep.
And Kathy Bates, I believe. Well, I pulled down the trailer to look at it, you know, and it was, like I said, the first remake after 57 years, but I pulled out my old DVD the other day and watched it, and it still holds up really well. I mean, the premise and the story and everything.
Oh, absolutely.
Just wondering if you've ever chance. I'm sure you saw the original, but have you heard anything about the other one? I pulled the trailer down from Yahoo.
I've seen the trailer.
Oh,
I've seen the trailer, and Tommy is trying to get a hold of Keanu Reeves, get him on the program. And
right.
I'm told he doesn't do much television, if any at all, and he definitely doesn't do radio.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. But I'd love to get him on the program right before that movie hits in the theaters.
Well, just curious, because a lot of people, they've never seen it. What was so great about the movie, even back then, it was that it was 15 years before Star Trek ever came along, and it was, and the premise was simple. You know, they were like from a League of Planets saying, these robots are kind of our policemen. You know,
it was cutting edge, I think.
Yeah, really. And then it's like they were saying, as long as we kept our petty wars and bickering among ourselves, that was cool. But if we brought our aggression or hatred out into the stars, then they were going to put up with it.
That's right. They were going to destroy us. It's a great movie. And you know what? Technologically, I'm sure number two will be good. But I always liked those black and white movie messages. Always did. Gulfport, Mississippi. Hello, Michael, east of the Rockies. You're on. Hey, Mike.
Hello, George. How are you this morning?
Okay, not bad.
Wonderful. I just wanted to call and thank you for you and your program. It keeps people informed and on track. And lately I've been following your program. I listen to it every night. I'm more loyal to you than I am to the church on Sunday. But I've been following. I'm very deeply interested in globalization and the powers behind the movement of globalization. And
me too.
I get so much great information from your show. And lately I've been thinking about what's going to happen after the bill was passed, and I watched the stock market to see if it went up or down, and of course, it did go down. So I don't think things are going to get any better, for example. I'm ready for it. I've been ready for it for a while, but it's going to shake up a lot of people's lives. But the one thing that I really focused on tonight was, you remember, Mac, you know, they've led us astray on so many things.
Well, of course they do.
I mean, you know, yeah. Like, I used to refer to say nasty things about the Republican Party, like they're all like sheep. The head sheep runs off the cliff, the whole flock goes. But it's the same thing with the Democrats. But the point is remember here a while back, I was just you had this on your show, I believe it was you at least, that said 2 weeks ago it was talking about we had a strong economy.
Mm-hmm.
And now, plop. Here we got this in our laps. And I was thinking.
And you know, the experts we've had on this program have pointed that out and said, it ain't going to happen. It's not true.
I know. And think about just a few years back, they were telling us about we need to, independentize or somethingize the Social Security system, put it in the stock market.
By the way, I used the word ain't to make a point.
But just think where the people with Social Security would be if they were in the stock market right now.
I know it.
Wouldn't it be terrible?
Sure would. I don't think this is going to help. I think this is going to bail out, as I said last week, a selected group of a few people.
That's all. It's a Band-Aid.
Who screwed up, and they're being bailed out by their friends.
It's a Band-Aid. It's not doing anything for us people down here that are the common working people.
Nope.
The common working person, they, all this stuff going back here for the last few months, well, are we in a recession? Are we not in a recession? It doesn't matter whether it's spelled with a D or an R. We know what it feels like down here. And, you know, it was a recession.
It doesn't feel good, Michael. And it doesn't feel good. Thanks a lot, Michael. By the way, when we come right back, we're going to talk with David Cerita for the rest of the program. I do the first Sunday every month. And we've got Ian Punnett and George Knapp in there as well. We'll be back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM.